The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the century of lies.
Doug McVeigh! Thank you, Ngaio. Thank you. You all are beautiful.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. Century of Lies is a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Last week, I was at the Global Marijuana March event here in Portland, Oregon. Got a quick interview with the new director of Portland Normal, Scott Gordon, otherwise known as Herb Thrasher. Let's give that a listen.
Herb Thrasher, Master of Ceremonies here at the Global Marijuana March in Portland, Oregon. That was a good show today. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Real excited to be here at the 17th Annual Global Cannabis March. We've been marching for quite a while now, doing this thing every year, and here we are again in 2016. We legalized in 2014 and still have a lot of work to do within the community to get what we implemented through Measure 91 kind of implemented how we want and how we voted for and how we expected it to be. So we're out here marching for freedom or renter rights and employment rights and indoor Safe Air Act rights and just certain things that we need to continue on.
Right on. Like I say, good crowd. Now, do we have some more events coming up during the year? Do you work with Hempstock at all? What's going to be happening in the rest of this season?
I do. I work with Hempstock on the core staff there, and we're real excited to get that event going again in September. And you can look for that on the hempstock.org website and also at HempstockPDX on the Twitter. And looking forward to that event. We have the Seattle Hemp Fest that we're going to be going up to in August. And I'm now the new executive director for Portland Normal. And we're going to start kind of getting involved in the community. You know, consumers are a base out there that I'm not sure is represented enough. And so we're going to get out there and start supporting these causes that are so dear to us.
Right on. Portland Normal, you guys have meetings? What's up with that?
Portland Normal has recently gone through a little bit of a restructure change, recently added two new board members, Trista Okel and Lindsay Reinhardt, and so we're now up to 7 board members again, and today was actually like a little bit of a relaunch for Portland Normal, and we're going to start getting our monthly meetings and kind of get everything going. It's taken us a little month. Transition isn't easy a lot of times, and so real excited to get them on board now and have our board of directors back to 7, so we have a full kind of team together and start getting out there and start representing consumers and the issues that we all fight. You know, Schedule 1, and it's just terrible. It's a travesty, and so we want to support that. We'd love to support Earl Blumenauer and some of the causes they had. We had a mayoral candidate, Ted Wheeler, here earlier talking about banking issues, and so that's real important for our cannabis businesses, our entrepreneurs, to be involved with banking. We want the same fairness of banking that other businesses have, so a lot of issues still to work with.
Fantastic. I wasn't here for Wheeler. It's great to see that and he's one of the leading mayoral candidates in the city. I saw Jesse Sponberg, one of the other candidates, had a booth, and of course Jennifer Valley is running for Clackamas County Commissioner. Do you see more of the politicians coming out and giving support to folks?
I really do, and as you mentioned, we also to add to who you mentioned, we also had Representative Tobias Reed, who was implemental in writing the Oregon Banking Cannabis Act, and so he is now also up for Ted Wheeler's position of a treasury. He's a secretary of treasury or something like that. There you go. And so he is now running for that, and he actually followed Ted Wheeler right here on the stage. And so today we've actually had four candidates running for offices here supporting this cause. And there's a couple more people that I don't really want to mention because they didn't make it, but they were so close and they wanted to come. We almost had an unbelievable keynote speaker. And so we do have some major kind of support coming. And they see this system. They know we're legalized. And they know here especially important as it was passed over 70%. And so it's definitely an overwhelming support. And Ted Wheeler definitely expressed that fact.
Terrific. I know you got to get... your MC. You got to do a Masters of Ceremonies. But any closing thoughts for the listener? And where do people find out more through the website thing?
Yeah, thank you so much. We're at portlandnormal.org, and you could also find us on Twitter at portlandnormal as well. And you could also find me at 420radio.org also. And yeah, you know, we just got to keep fighting. Basically, the big message here and why we're here is we just got to keep fighting to end the drug war. The drug war is the main culprit of all this and why we're here. Schedule 2 is a direct cousin of the main culprit. I mean, Schedule 1, excuse me, is the main culprit of this. And so these are things that not only here in Oregon we got to change, but nationally we got to continue to just change. And so we strive and we keep going.
That was Portland Normal's Scott Gordon, a.k.a. Herb Thrasher, at the Global Marijuana March event in Portland, Oregon. Last week, we heard an interview I got with Robert C. Clark at the Willamette Week Cultivation Classic. He delivered the keynote address at that event. Here it is.
I'm not going to take much of your time today because I want to get on with what's going on right here in front of us. But I will say that I've seen the celebration of cannabis evolve for a long time. And I first started going to events in the early 1980s. And to attend an event in Mendocino or Sonoma County back in those days, first of all, it was only in the autumn because people only grew in the summer, you know, the outdoor months. We didn't really have an indoor growing culture then. So it was truly a Thanksgiving sort of harvest festival. But you were loaded into vans at a Safeway parking lot or some neutral spot. And the vans had blocked out windows. And you couldn't see who the driver was. And you were taken to some beautiful, remote piece of property, some fantastic places over the years. And you met people you'd never met, limited size groups, 100 people maybe, all catered, beautiful. And that grew. We took this idea to Amsterdam years ago. The High Times magazine people picked up on the whole idea. They made a cannabis cup out of it. A lot of fun. Became really commercialized, went through 3 decades of becoming something way beyond the control of our cannabis culture. And that's bigger now than ever. These guys have left Amsterdam. They're persona non grata at this point. They've moved back to America. They have events all over America. They're huge. They're impersonal. They're very commercial. And that's needed as well, I'm sure. But what we have here, in my mind, is a return more to the roots, more to the basic idea of why we come together to celebrate cannabis. And it'll be fun. Everybody enjoy yourselves. But this now, at this point, from this juncture onward, we have a responsibility of what we're doing as well, especially with these kind of events. We have an opportunity now to determine the course of events for our future. Oregon, as Jeremy pointed out, is a great experimental ground for things to go on. I'm a Californian, the land of chaos. I have no idea what's going to happen there. It's beyond anyone's control or even imagination at this point. Here you have a really good experiment, and you're trying to do things differently, and that's why we're here today. This kind of event can move us on into the future. We can determine what is quality cannabis. We can determine how it's grown, how the regulations that eventually come should be based. They could be based on the reality that we bring to the table. And if we don't continue being active here, I'm a bit preaching to the choir here in Oregon, but if people nationwide and worldwide don't become more proactive with the changes that are going on around them, regardless of whether they participate or not, people will likely not get an outcome that they are comfortable with. So we really have to try our best to establish what we want to see in the future. And right here we're doing it. The samples that have been turned in have been grown in ways that are friendly to the earth. They are analyzed. In the future, they could even be identified genetically as to whether the samples are entered or what were said were entered. We can use science to our advantage and really make progress that will make sense to us and hopefully sense to others who really do establish the rules that we live under. Okay? So don't be afraid of science. Embrace science and get on with establishing what we want to see and party down. This is a great day. So celebrate. Don't forget to celebrate.
That was Robert C. Clark speaking at the Willamette Week Cultivation Classic. The event was really well run. It was a lot of fun. There was a smoking section, and several of the vendors were giving out free samples. Unfortunately, the City of Portland's Office of Neighborhood Initiatives has decided that the city should no longer permit anyone to hold events where people are able to smoke, and where vendors can give away free samples to people of legal age. They claim that charging an entry fee is the equivalent of selling weed without the proper license, even though none of the vendors who gave away samples were getting a piece of that fee. The Office of Neighborhood Initiatives also insists that if members of the public have to pay an admission fee to enter an event, that makes it a public space, and state law forbids people from using marijuana in public. The Cultivation Classic was the first event of its kind in Oregon, and it may be the last to be held in the city of Portland, at least for a while. You're listening to Century of Lies, a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Last month, I was in New York City for the United Nations General Assembly special session on drugs. While there, I ran into my good friend and colleague, Dale Gehringer from California Normal. Here's that interview. You're Dale Gehringer, the head of California Normal. And there are two different things I want to talk about. We're here in New York at the Ungas, sitting just outside enjoying the weather because it's perfect. And I'm not allowed to bring my recording equipment inside because I'm with an NGO. But it seems that security has issues with more than just NGO people bringing in camera equipment. There's a... Dale, you have with you a copy of a newsletter. It's called the Post-Prohibition Times. Now, can you... Oh, wow, look at the names on there. Yeah. Fernando Cardoza, Ernesto de Zedillo. Look at all those great names.
Illustrious people from around the world who have signed this statement calling on the UN to end the drug war. Let's see, Fernando Henrique Cardoza, the former president of Brazil, Ernesto Zedillo, former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, and today, by the way, the actual president of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto, addressed the General Assembly and said that they haven't been doing enough to work past the strictures of the existing treaty system. But anyhow, there's like seven pages of heavy-duty signatories here on this treatise that was being handed out by a battery of avid young SSD peers, I think, to all comers to the United Nations this morning. And practically nobody could approach the UN without getting one of these in their hands. Then, as they got to the security checkpoint, every one of them was told, sorry, you cannot bring this into the UN. Fortunately, being the inveterate smuggler that I am, I saw what was happening and managed to secrete it into my pack, which was not searched there, but subsequently, and everything was copacetic. And frankly, once I got inside, there was no problem as long as one could find a seat in the galleries of the General Assembly, which requires getting there on time and early. But I did. It's interesting to watch the proceedings there, as it's interesting to watch molasses flow. Actually, all of the business occurred right at the beginning when it was moved without objection that the document prepared beforehand by UNOCD and the hires up would be approved unanimously without objection. Then afterwards, various spokespeople from the different nations could express their sentiments upon this document that everybody had without objection approved. And there were some good statements there. A lot of statements against the death penalty in particular, beginning with the Swiss on that, and the Norwegians put in a word for harm reduction. And when that word harm reduction came up, the galleries, all of us in the peanut gallery there, applauded. And there were even a couple mentions of cannabis. The minister from Jamaica talked about the need to respect traditional values regarding cannabis. That really did get applause. And President Nieto talked about the need to allow medicinal and research use of cannabis and also to decriminalize use in general. And there was a lot of that. The only sour note from our standpoint was the representative from Indonesia who spoke for himself and for Singapore and China and Pakistan and most of the Middle Eastern countries and Brunei and a bunch of other such nations who made it very clear that there should be no talk about this death penalty stuff. This was up to the individual nations. They found it very fitting to have the death penalty. That got hisses. And there was the delegate from China who said in no cases should they be countenancing any legalization of narcotics. Now, it's interesting, he said that's how the translation said legalization of narcotics, and I don't know whether the subtleties of the word narcotics, to you and me, the drugs we're most concerned with are actually not narcotics, but I think in the minds of the Chinese, not having seen their character, I would nonetheless hazard that they were including other things as well. So anyhow, the show goes on, and nothing is going to happen to the international treaties for maybe another 3 years. But that's the progress of international politics.
And just to back up a moment, the document which was written earlier in which they agreed early yesterday, just to clarify, that was the outcome document for the UNGAS, the outcome document.
Right, everybody agrees to the outcome. Right, yes. Right. So they can comment on the outcome. It's like getting your prefix menu and then you say, well, you know, I wish there'd been more foie gras on this, but okay, I'll eat it, you know.
And so they presented something and the rest of us have to eat it. Outcome is one of those things that brings to mind, to me at least, something you have after something. To me, outcome implies, I don't know, an outcome as opposed to, again, at least I'm not the only one who was told by security.
The documents come from on high by divine revelation from the upper ministries of the International Narcotics Control Board and the UN Office on Crimes and Drugs.
What a bloody farce! So you've been inside. You've been inside. Terribly boring.
Building. It's worth taking the tour. Actually, I just took the tour en français because it was the most convenient thing to do. The English tour, I had to wait another hour, and I thought it was time to brush up on my French. Very nice tour. Got to see, there's good artwork in there, and lots of ambitious, good-meaning goals. Eliminating landmines and, addressing the issue of global warming, things like that.
So let's shift gears for a moment. Well, I think of another question about UNGAS, frankly. But you're from California, and so there's the obvious question, which I'll go ahead and ask: what's going to happen this November?
Marijuana is going to be legal in California as of midnight, November 8th, 9th of this year. I'm confident that Californians are going to approve the so-called Adult Use for Marijuana Act initiative, which is not actually qualified for the ballot yet because they're finalizing the signature campaign, which doesn't really end until about the end of this month, and then it all has to go to the Secretary of State and get validated. But it's like shooting fish in a barrel if you have the bucks to do it, and everybody expects it to be on the ballot. And you know, the polling is very favorable everywhere, you know, on the order of 60%, so I don't see any problem with it.
Technically, they can, if they do fall short, they have another month or two after that to collect signatures, don't they, or do they?
No. If you're short, well, what you really try to do is you try to have 110% of your valid signatures. If you don't, because they do a random sampling of the ballots, and if you it looks like you're on target for 110%, they give you the green light. If you're under 110% but over like 95% or something, then they give you the long count, which means they count every single ballot. And when that happens, that can delay you past this election cycle entirely. And in fact, the next election cycle for ballot initiatives in California is not for another 2 years. So anyhow, but I don't think that that's going to happen. It's going to be on the ballot and it will pass.
Fantastic.
You know, legalization is already happening in California right now as everybody is starting to prepare for state regulation of medical marijuana, which is there in a huge industry there. I mean, we've got literally tens of thousands of people currently operating under this very loose framework of Prop 215 who are going to have to get state licenses if they're going to continue. And the state licensing regime is just getting underway, and it won't be until January 1st, 2018 that we will have the state licensing for medical marijuana in effect. And if this adult use initiative passes, we will also have state licensing for adult use starting in 2018. And again, depending also on local governments, because local governments have total power to opt out of anything, including medical in California. We're not totally happy about that, but that's the way it is.
And that what you just said, we're not happy about it. So it's not like, okay, we've done it, we're done now. This is a process, right?
It is, and there are things that are. This initiative was not totally satisfactory to everybody on our side. It's a very long and wordy initiative. It's like 62 pages with lots of little provisions in it. So, you know, it isn't just that you can have six plants, but it's only six plants per residence. And it has to be in a locked area. And if you have more than 1 ounce of marijuana from those plants, that has to be locked and out of public view and yada, yada, yada. There are all these ifs and ands. We were also, I think, upset that it really didn't do anything to secure rights for medical patients, which have been eroded by court decisions in California. But that's going to continue to be the case, that local governments can deny medical marijuana access, basically. So we're going to be fighting that for a long time. And then there's the issue of drug testing in the workplace.
So the young guys, you're gonna be, the outcome document's already done. Asking you what we're gonna, what do you think will actually concrete? After this, what happens?
Wait another 3 years and hope. I think 2019 is the next big review, and hope at some point the UN allows there to be a review of the actual treaties, because here we have these treaties which are getting long in the tooth at this point. I mean, you know, we have the basic underlying treaty, the Single Convention Treaty, dates from 1961. But then there were, I guess, three subsequent treaties on psychotropic substances, and I've forgotten the names of the other two, which happened in the 70s and 80s. The last one was in 87. The last one was the nastiest one because it required signatory nations to criminalize the possession of drugs, which is, you know, totally gratuitous and which there's widespread resistance to. and which people are preaching against criminalization in there. But here they have this treaty that commits the nations to doing that, but nobody seems to want to rock the boat and actually change the treaties. And, you know, it's now over 25 years since they've done this. The time is overdue. I think it's going to take leadership by the United States to do it. Everybody thinks it will take leadership by the United States. But whether that will happen is a dubious issue, you know?
Has anyone, you mentioned that some of the people have mentioned harm reduction, that they talked about the need to have any of the delegates spoken directly to the need to either replace or renegotiate or at least or somehow amend the current conventions? Have they thrown that down?
That would be impolitic and unpolite to talk about that. Although I think the best was President Nieto saying that the existing system really was inadequate, which implies that there has to be some sort of new treaty. But nobody actually said we need to change the treaty. No, and believe me, there was active discussion about would there be a proposal, a serious proposal to suggest that, a losing proposal, mind you, from the floor, because it would certainly be voted down by the vast majority of delegates who are still very prohibitionist. I mean, like almost every country in Asia and every country in Africa to begin with, and then, you know, Eastern Europe, the Russians. So it would be a tall order, but at least to suggest it, to propose it. I think that was decided earlier this year in Vienna that there would be no discussion of that. That instead everybody would unanimously agree to accept the outcome.
Accept the outcome before it started. Dale, give me your website. Before I start ranting about these people, any final thoughts and the website where people find out stuff?
The website for California Normal is www.canormal.org and CANORML. We have a full analysis of the many complexities of the pending Adult Use of Marijuana Act and a full analysis of the many complexities of the Medical Marijuana Regulation Act that is now in effect for people to follow. And don't hold your breath for change at the United Nations. I will say this is a wonderful time for me. April 20th, tomorrow, is my birthday. It's my 70th birthday. And it's time for me to retire. My goal, you know, was to legalize marijuana in California. And it looks like that's going to happen here in my 70th year. And so I can declare victory in that. And then I'm going to devote my retirement to legalizing LSD.
So you're picking a nice, easy retirement. That's good. That's smart. That's smart.
Keep me going for a while.
Oh, thank you, Dale.
That's brilliant.
My pleasure.
That was an interview with California Normal Director Dale Gehringer. I caught up with him in New York City at the UN General Assembly Special Session on Drugs. And well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Century of Lies, a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The Drug Truth Network is on Facebook. Please give its page a like. Drug War Facts is on Facebook, too. Give it a like and share it with friends. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh and, of course, also at Drug Policy Facts. We'll be back next week with 30 minutes of news and information about the drug war and this century of lies. For now, for the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.